What's up, people? This is You're Not Listening, the podcast that teaches you how to actively listen to music one song at a time. I'm Sean O'Loughlin.
I am Dad of Sean.
I want to get you a shirt that says Dad of Sean, like a jersey that says it
D-O-S.
On the back. Dad of Sean. Coming at you after another little break. We recorded an episode for last month, and it proved to be a whole lot more complicated than we thought to put it together.
It's good info, too.
But that will come out. That will come out in a couple months. It's all about cover songs. That one doesn't really have a time limit, but we're doing an episode this month, and then we're going to make sure that we squeeze in our Halloween special episode next month, because we do that every year, and we want to make sure we don't miss those big ones like Halloween and Christmas, and, you know, we do what we can.
Patrick's
but I got to say, St. Patrick's Day. I got to say the Facebook group has been active lately, which is cool.
Yeah.
Nice. And we've brought some new people in, so welcome to everybody. If you are a listener as well, welcome to everyone that joined the Facebook group. We're having a good time over there, and there's some good discussions and some cool people are sharing some cool songs and stuff. So it's good stuff.
The cool thing is, discussions from people, like, we know most of the people that have joined it, and people are discussing songs who've never met each other from all different genres of our lives, from different people. And that was the intent. That was the intent of the whole thing.
Yes. Well, yeah, it's pretty cool. Huh? It's pretty cool. Before we get into the songs we're talking about today, I want to remind everybody to subscribe to You're Not Listening wherever you're listening right now, so you can get new episodes when they come out. You don't need to go looking for them. They'll just come right to your phone. And we never know when they're going to come out. So
busy.
So it'll be a nice surprise for you.
You're just this busy guy. Like, you've got an unbelievably busy life. It's just, I don't know how you do it.
I bring it upon myself, though. Like, I don't need to be in grad school right now. I don't need to do it. I'm choosing to. And I have a full-time job, and I have three kids. And
full-time plus kids.
Soccer, dance. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not in dance class, but my girls are.
Your dancing skills have really improved. So.
Yeah. No. Yeah. So it's just, it's just busy. Yep. It's just, life is always busy, and I'm going to stop. I'm not going to make excuses. I'm just, this is for fun. So we do it when we can. And we're back here today to talk about a couple songs. Remember to check us out on Facebook, like we mentioned. We are on Twitter and Instagram, but, Facebook is really kind of where we're centrally located. That's kind of where we conduct all of our communications with everyone. So I would recommend checking us out on Facebook. Look up the name of the show, follow the page, and join the group, and enjoy the fun music content and conversations we have there. If you haven't yet, make sure you check out Pantheon Podcast Network at pantheonpodcast.com. If you like this show, I guarantee you'll find other music-related podcasts there that you can listen to as well, because
nice
as
things.
We know, people tend to listen to many podcasts because, if a podcast produces an episode a week, that's only 1 hour out of your week. And if you like this kind of content, there's a lot of other shows out there that you can find, and make sure you check them out and support them as well. I think that's it. I mean, links to all of our stuff is in the show notes. So, anything that I missed, you can check out there, and I go buy t-shirts and all that fun stuff. But we brought a couple songs. Dad told me what song he's doing today, and so I decided to go a different route. Since the song that you're doing, you are doing Game of Love by Michelle Branch and Carlos Santana, yep. Which was a pretty popular song. So I decided to go the opposite route and pick a song that I think is just really cool, and I enjoy playing and singing and just enjoying. But it's very simple, and it's probably not well known at all.
No.
By a lot of our audience. So I thought I'd share a song and introduce it to some of our listeners. So the song that I'm doing is Out with the Crow by The Haunted Wind Chimes, which is a pretty cool song.
I was just going to say, I thought you jumped right to the Halloween episode.
No, it's not Halloween-y.
Haunted Wind Chimes? Haunted Wind Chimes? I'm thinking, oh, he forgot. And
right, but they're like a folk / bluegrass blues
cool
band.
Name,
I mean,
but
you know,
I was thinking, like, okay,
yeah.
I know how much you love Halloween. It's like, oh, he's kind of leaning that way already. I can feel it. Okay.
Yeah, no. I mean, spooky season is upon us, but that's not why I chose this. That'll be next episode. Will be a spooky song, but this is not. It's not a spooky song. This is just kind of a cool, kind of laid back, folky, bluegrassy type song. So, which one do we want to do first?
Yes.
Do you have any jokes? Do you have anything funny? You got anything to catch up on? We haven't done this in a long time. What do you want to tell the
dad
people?
Dad joke. All right, you ready? I understand that Neil Diamond is selling his Volvo on eBay.
Yeah.
Did you know that? It's
I heard
sweet,
something.
Sweet car online.
Yeah, I've heard that. Sweet car online.
Sweet car online. I didn't deliver it that well, but deep in the cheese. And I got to, you know what? I got to tell you, I started during my walks, I started trying to listen to some podcasts, and been trying to get a little more into some of the different genres and stuff. And I've been listening to this one, which I'm not going to mention. It's a music.
Is it about seafood?
No, but I started.
There's one really good podcast about seafood out there.
Really?
Who has a very handsome
What's it called?
Host.
And who's the producer?
It's called Aquademia.
Aquademia.
And it's produced by a very, very handsome and humble man named Sean O'Loughlin.
Oh, okay. Right. I was going to say Justin.
Justin Grant, yeah. Maddie Cassidy. My partner's in crime over there. I love those guys.
But no, it's kind of a history of a band and all that kind of stuff. But it's pretty much one guy talking and just delivering, telling stories and delivering information. And I'm thinking like, okay, it's kind of cool. And I think it's got 20 some odd episodes, something like this. And I'm on number 9 or something like this. And after a little while, I'm starting to think like, okay, I think this guy's wasted or high or something or boring. Or whatever. And I'm thinking like, it's good content, but it's not engaging. And I'm thinking like, there are a lot of other podcasts out there that need to kind of be spiced up a little more. And which is why I like ours, because ours is a little more back and forth and, you know, it seems a little lighter and stuff. But this was like, all right, I want to get to the end of it because I want to hear so many stories, but come on, buddy, will you start talking, you know?
So scripted podcast is a whole other beast. People, you could do a really good job with scripted podcast, but it needs a little bit of sound design, for my opinion. I think scripted podcast, if you're not a dynamic speaker, like a lot of people want to do podcasts, but they're like not comfortable or not confident with their public speaking and stuff. So they'll write everything down and then they'll read it, which makes them more comfortable, but it's not necessarily the most engaging.
Well,
I think he's pretty
confident because he was a lead singer and all that. I think it's just the old, someone said to him, hey, you've got some good stories. You should record them. And he's just kind of just there and spilling it. And there's somewhat of a structure to it and stuff, but it's just like, so it just made me appreciate this a little more than we do.
I like listening to podcasts where there's multiple people having a conversation, because then new ideas are brought up.
Yep.
And, there's a really popular meme out there that's like a picture of a kid sitting on the floor next to one of those like ice cream coolers that has a picture of like three other people like smiling and eating ice cream together. And he's sitting there with an ice cream next to them pretending to be like part of the group. And it says, this is what it feels like to listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
Because it's like another conversation that's happening, but you feel like you're part of it because you feel like you're like in the room, right? And so so if I listen to podcasts that are done by like one person, those tend to be more really like content specific, or they have sound design and they're, you know,
yeah, there's no sound, there's no breaks in between. It's just like, here's a story about this one, like, you know, so
yeah, the content needs to be like super, super good.
Yeah.
And for me to stick with those.
It has to be interesting enough for me to want to know about it is what I'm finding stuff. Because it's, I don't know if it's painful is the good word, but it's just, it's like, come on, get to the point, buddy. And I can see why people, you know, half or three quarters way through, you know, some kind of, you know, episodes, that's just like, all right, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. And they go on to something different. Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah. Interesting.
I mean, everybody has different listening habits too, and different stuff that they like to listen to.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
like I listen to some that are like that. They're scripted and they're just someone, a person reading something that they wrote. But like the content's really interesting. Like I listened to one who's she for years has been a FBI profiler.
Wow.
And so she looks, so it's like different, you know, there's a lot of true crime podcasts out there, but this one is looking at the people who committed these crimes and taking a psychological dive into like why they do what they do or why they did what they did.
Right.
And so she talks about their history and the psychology that influenced them and all this stuff. And like, it's scripted and she's just reading what she wrote, but it's super fascinating. Right. So it's like content is king.
They tend to be shorter too.
Those ones are probably like a half hour.
Yeah. Quick hits like that instead of something that's over.
Yeah.
Hour.
But it's from Wondery, and no knock against Wondery. They have some really good shows, but they put so many ad breaks in.
Oh, really? Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. We try to stick with like 3 ad breaks, maybe 4 at the most in this show. You'll get at least 6 or 7 ad breaks in the Wondery shows.
Like,
and then, I mean, every like, it feels like every like 6 minutes, there's like 2 ads.
That's what it feels like when you watch Hulu.
Yeah, kind of.
Wow. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
I just thought it was different. Like, okay, I got to bring that up with Sean just cause, and you know, I'm guessing there's a million different formats, a million different ways, a million different, you know, ideas and stuff on how to do podcast stuff, but just, it was a little disappointing and it's like, okay, am I going to stick with this or not? And you know, you're in it. So it's, you know, I want to finish it, I guess, stuff, but I'm not, you know, I'm not digging. I mean, I like it, but I'm not digging as much.
Well, the more stuff you listen to, the more you'll figure out like what works for you and what doesn't work for you. And like, what your tolerance, I think if the content is good and the conversation is good and it's interesting and it's a topic that you're interested in, that you like, then like I personally give a little bit of slack to people who maybe don't have the best audio quality, right? Like maybe they don't have great microphones and they're just recording the sound recorder on their phone and they don't do a lot of editing, but they're talking about something that I'm like super interested or passionate about. So I give them grace on that side. But then there are other ones where it's like, well, your content is okay, but you know, I can't sit here through this because I can't listen to like this poor audio quality. It's not worth it to me if the content's
not
there.
Well, I imagine there's some also that, you know, have all the perfect mics and the perfect studio setup and everything else, but it's just like they're not making it because no one cares about what they're talking
about. So that's what happens with these celebrity podcasts, right? So I promise we're going to talk about music. I promise we're going to talk about the songs that everyone's going to listen to it. We're going to talk about the songs, but this is something that really gets me. It, as Peter Griffin would say, it grinds my gears. These celebrities.
Did you go to school in Rhode Island by chance or something?
Yeah, can you tell? No, I just came back from Fall River, Massachusetts. Sure, Fall River.
Just go to Fall River, kid.
So a lot of like celebrities will be like, "I'm going to do a podcast," and they'll create a podcast, and it'll sound like they'll have professional sound engineers, and they'll do it in recording studios and stuff, and they'll come out, and they're just. They sound good, but they're just so bad. Like, because they're not podcasters, right? They're actors or they're performers or something. So like Will Ferrell came out with one that was like the Ron Burgundy podcast. And it was like him as Ron Burgundy from Anchorman, like doing a podcast. And it was just, it just didn't work because they just like, you're leaning on like you as this character, but that's not enough. Like it's a different medium. Yep. You need to adapt it and make it an actual podcast. And like, it was so bad. And the problem is those people, like, they'll release episodes and, like, drop in their first episode and they already got 4 million downloads on the first episode as soon as it's out, right, because of who they are. Yep. And, like, masses of people are listening to podcasts that are just subpar. And then there's a guy that's living in, like, rural Ohio, right, who's, like, doing this amazing work with crazy sound design and it's so good and his content's really good and he's just, like, hyper-professional, but no one's heard of him, so he's only getting, like, 100 downloads per episode. Yep. You know, like that's the problem with the
genre.
That's a one problem with the medium.
Yeah. Interesting. Plus, it's kind of like
whatever.
Kind of like think that with DJ stuff, you have these people that would show up with all the newest equipment and, you know, all the lights and every bell and whistle. And, you know, they turn on the music and they start talking. It's like, yeah, this guy sucks. And then you have other people just like, you're going to come on in and, you know, you're going to be, you know, stripped down, but the music, the quality sounds good and you have somebody who's going to be a professional and it's going to be a great gig, you know, so it's just the same thing. Yeah. I can imagine it.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. I mean, gear doesn't make.
No, gear. I think gear hides other things that are missing, you know.
Sometimes.
You know, so. All right. Music. Yeah. Let's do yours first.
Let's do mine first. Yeah, sure. Because it's short. I'll give you a little preview of the beginning. So my song is called Out With The Crow. Click on the link in the show notes to listen to it on YouTube. And here's a little snippet of the beginning. So that's the beginning of it. Go listen to it. Come on back and we'll talk about it. All right. So you listened to it, Dad.
Yep. Yep.
What was your initial reaction to that? Because you had never heard this song
before. I hadn't. First off, I said, God, Sean's always bringing some really interesting stuff to the table. And I feel like I bring lame crap to the table. So I was immediately overwhelmed with that. But initially I thought, it sounded a lot like the stuff that by Nathaniel Radliff and the Night Sweats.
Ratliff
and the Night Sweats, which is good, you know, especially when it kind of kicks in and, you know, the chorus and stuff.
It's a little more bluegrass country, down home kind of feel
but,
to
but
it.
But good. No, interesting. And, you know, and I think you, I mean, you always make fun of me like, okay, you know, I always play, you know, either beach stuff or on the boardwalk or, you know, Buffett stuff or straight up rock from Springsteen or whatever. You could go like, okay, I'm going to be the bluegrass roots guy for a little while, and then I'm going to do my ska thing, and I'm going to do my punk thing. So you have like your things that you kind of lean on as well, just like all of us. You know, we have different genres that we always kind of like and lean towards. Mm-hmm. So I can see how you'd find this maybe somewhere, you know.
I think this came on Pandora for me.
You're like, oh, okay, where's this song? And then all of a sudden you pay attention to it and then kind of pay, you know, add it into your lists and then do a little deep dive in it. But. Interesting. I can see how you'd like that. I would probably never come across this because I'm not so sure that I would kind of have that as my, you know, my radio or my Pandora or whatever.
Yeah, it's weird. Some of my Pandora stations have kind of like morphed. You know, like you could start off with Pandora and be like, I want to listen to like Jimmy Buffett. And then after listening for like 2 weeks, listening to that same station, it's playing like Slipknot, like, or something crazy. Like, it's weird how these things morph, right? So I have a couple radio, a couple stations on Pandora that have really kind of gone down this route of either like dark folk music like this, that's kind of like a little bit darker, like in minor keys and, you know, a little bit.
That's because your Alexa is always looking at you and listening to you. So I was like, okay, he likes Halloween, so let's do that. That's why.
Right. Or you know, in like the dark cabaret stuff, a lot of that stuff comes in, which is, I love that. I think that's super cool with like the horns and stuff. But I have some of those songs on my list. We'll get to those another time. Or it goes the other direction with like Irish stuff. So like I have a Pandora station that I think I did Brian Fallon, and it now plays all like Dropkick Murphys and the Tossers and like all that kind of stuff, like the kind of Flogging Molly, like the punk Irish stuff. Like that's like all it plays now, that's which funny. Is weird. So I don't know. It's just like, I know this song and you like it. And then it starts playing more
and
songs.
And that's what it does. It takes like you different directions based on that. Okay.
So you kind of forget that forget I'm listening to the Brian Fallon radio because I've been listening to all this Irish stuff, but like it's still playing songs that I like. So I'm saying that I like it. So that it morphs the algorithm.
Does Spotify do the same thing? Because I find the same thing with Spotify. And sometimes I won't even, like, I'll just put it on, like when I was, you know, working in your basement, I'll just put it on a radio station of somebody that I like and do the radio side of it. And then 10 or 15 songs in, like, I didn't hear one song by that artist, but like, oh, this is kind of good stuff. But I also didn't go back and say, I like that song, I like the song, kind of didn't, so it didn't take
me. Well, I don't know if it really does that based on your likes. I think that the radio stations on Spotify, they're more like playlists.
I think
they're curated by like what other people, like people who listen to that artist, what else do they listen to?
Because I have heard like duplications, like, okay, that's the same playlist, you know, that I heard 3 weeks ago. It's like, okay, I think I know the next song's coming. And it's a little different, but yeah, similar. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's how that's, how that's
done. And initially I thought on this song that, you know, I'm thinking Squirrel Nut Zippers is what I came up with right away. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't see that.
No?
No, I just, that doesn't, I don't.
that's what I
think. I don't, those feel like completely different genres to me.
Yeah, they felt very similar to me at first. I mean, besides the Nathaniel Rateliff and stuff, but yeah.
Yeah, this feels a lot more folk. This like, this doesn't feel like the Southern folk to me. This feels a little more Western.
Well, they're from Colorado, so maybe, yeah.
Kind of like, yeah, I kind of picture more like ghost town cowboy type feels with this. Like the kind of the Wild West meets, I guess, like, I don't know. It's kind of a weird feel to it. Like, they don't really fit into one genre. Yep. And this, I have a biography of them, and it says, the band draws from traditional folk and American roots music. The songs have a vintage quality as if they've been written yesterday or 75 years ago. Grounded in honeyed harmonies and spirited picking.
I made a comment about that, too. I wrote that down. Grounded in honeyed harmonies and spirited picking.
So did you find the same thing
I just
thought I did?
That's their opening on their Instagram.
Yeah, it's not quite bluegrass or blues or country, but the elements of all those are in their songs.
Right.
And they paint pictures of empty train stations and nights of passing a jug of moonshine around. And I think that's a really good description.
Again, that's Night Sweats to me. That's Nathaniel Rateliff, you know? That's the impression I get from him.
Yeah, but they're like in a city in my mind, right? That's like the city
version
and
of
this
them.
Is the more rural country.
Yeah, okay, I get that.
That's kind of how I picture it.
And I went on YouTube and listened to some of their other stuff, especially when they have their female vocalist singing. It brought back Brother Where Art Thou, you know, kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah, late 1800s, early 1900s, rural, out west or down south, you know, southwest.
Yeah, but not southern, but just roots.
Yeah. Well,
okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah.
And one of the songs I really like from them is Sun Shining Bright. If you want to go back and listen to that, I think that's one you really enjoy too. And
yeah, they have some good stuff.
Besides the artists I already mentioned stuff, I also got a little taste of the band from them, like a traditional band, not just the Wait, you know, everybody knows them.
Right.
But traditional band. I think they kind of started out kind of going in that direction. If you listen to some of their deep dive stuff, it feels a little like these guys do, you know, from the band.
Yeah. So there's a band that I saw years ago open for Barefoot Truth, actually, and they're from upstate New York, and they're called Spirit Family Reunion, and they have a similar sound to this. They have a little different instrumentation, but they do have a banjo, but they have a fiddle player, and they have some kind of loose harmonies in there that are pretty similar to this. So it's kind of the same genre where it's like three or four, like you can't really call them bluegrass. You can't really call them country, but it's kind of like a mixture of a bunch of different genres and it's a similar sound. And that's kind of what it reminds me
of. What's the deal with these guys? Are they still out touring? Are they still making music? Are they?
Yeah, no, I think they're still 2000. It says years active. It says 2006 to present.
Okay.
Right. So as far as I know, they're still out doing stuff.
So could you go to a show and watch this for 2 hours?
Probably.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, okay.
I feel like it would be more of like a festival, right? Like the Newport Folk Festival or something like that. Okay. Like feels like it would be a better fit at something like that.
Outdoors.
Outdoor venue.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Got you.
Like, I don't know if I'd go to a stadium show with this type, but that's not the kind of music, right?
Yeah, I don't think they could fill a stadium, could they? I don't know if they have that kind of following. Yeah.
I don't know.
Interesting. Although these are kind of guys that we should reach out to and ask them if they want to be on the podcast. I wonder if they'd be interested. So.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So what do you got? Give me some details. What do you like?
You know, there's not too much to talk about because it's pretty laid back and it's very straightforward.
Yeah.
I really like in the beginning of this, which I played earlier, I like when the bass comes in.
Stand-up bass, too.
You start to hear it. Do, 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 do. And he's just going down the neck. And then it's that bluegrass bass line.
You don't hear Squirrel Nut Zippers in there?
I guess they have similar bass lines to that, but like, Squirrel Nut Zippers have like the muted trumpet and the horns, and it's a lot more jazzy.
Yeah, but they have this kind of feel,
electric guitars.
But they have this kind of feel, too, so. Okay. Right. No, I like that, too. That was something I picked up on right away. I love the stand-up bass.
Yeah. So there's a couple lines in here that I think are really cool, and it really kind of sets the mood and the scene. Like, this is like songs like this are cool because they like tell stories, and they tell stories in a way that you can like picture them in your mind, right? Like you can like feel the atmosphere in there. And there's one line here that I think is really cool. It's at around 105.
Big Mom girl, got my mind and down in Louisiana, leave it all behind. Long black hair, deep brown eyes, I'll be down in Louisiana, leave it all behind. And that old number five will be southbound, blow smoke. Let the long black train burn cold and take me home.
That second verse is cool. That old number five will be southbound blowing smoke. Like that is just a visual, right?
Yeah.
Let the long black train burn coal and take me home. Yeah. Like it's this coal burning engine. It's just a big train just cruising down the rail, and you can just picture like it out in the middle of nowhere. Yeah. Right? It's just a really cool
leaving a station that was empty. Right. Right.
It's good writing.
Yeah.
It's really good writing.
Interesting.
And there's a lot of the lines are like that. Like you could almost like write out the lyrics on this and it would like tell a story that you could follow,
Disney
which
movie,
is kind of
right?
cool.
Right.
Yeah. I like that. I think that's cool.
And that's right.
And that leads right in.
And that's the right in tune with the stuff you're doing for your master's degree too, you know, you're doing some screenplay stuff. You could write a screenplay.
Right. Well, the course I'm taking right now, actually, I have to write a short, a one act screenplay. And it's actually, I'm writing a Western. I'm writing it in like the Wild West of like 1880. So.
Nice.
I get, maybe that's why I picked the song. My mind is kind of living in that world right now, you know?
Well, you can have
maybe
this as a backing, you're backing ground, you know, you're backing your vocals and soundtracks. So.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. I think my story is a little bit darker than this, but you know, so that actually leads right into the bridge, which I think is cool because it draws the feel of the vocals back a little bit. You can feel, you could hear in that verse kind of the regular melody. And then when they go into the bridge, they tone it down a little.
2 ounce kickback, a bottle of Jack, about a half pound with me and a hot six pack. That'll have gone by the time.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And then after that bridge, they do a solo, which is cool. It's just like an acoustic guitar solo with the mandolin and banjo carrying the rhythm section. So they're not strumming the guitar. The guitar is being used for the solo. And right after the solo is when he kicks it in with the vocals and really kind of ramps it up and kind of goes. He doesn't go crazy, but he really kind of
lets it all
loose, and that is the best part of the song when he does this. And I'm just gonna let that play for a little bit because I want you to listen to when he really ramps up the vocals, and I want you to listen to the background vocals because they're really cool. They're kind of subdued and kind of like, actually it's fitting, they're kind of haunting the background vocals the way they do it. So just listen to it. So I'm gonna play it right at the end of the solo, and then you'll hear it go into that last verse.
Town and I like the moon, let them know you're around. See what's shaking, man, going down.
Did you hear those those background vocals? Yep. Just ooh, it just adds an extra layer onto it's cool because he's singing faster, but it's a really slow and kind of flowing backing vocal behind it, which it just kind of adds a weird dimension to it. It's pretty cool.
Okay.
You look like you have something to say about that.
Refresh my memory, because I don't think we did it in one of the episodes, but down by a song that you played for me years ago, Down by the River. I don't know if it was Alabama Shakes or
Delta Ray.
Delta Ray.
Yes.
This feels like that. No,
it's yes. Yes.
Okay.
Similar.
All right.
That song was, Oh my hand. It's a long way to the bottom of the river.
Okay. Okay.
And yes, that song is a lot more haunting than this.
It's got the haunting vocals in the chorus.
That has that song has been on my list since day one, because there's one vocal line where she just unleashes her voice, and it's ridiculous and unbelievable.
Similar to what just happened with his voice. Right. Right. Okay.
Similar to this. Yeah.
Okay.
But that one is a lot more. I mean, she puts everything behind it, and it's crazy. So we'll do that song for
sure.
Let's
do that next time, because we always talk about some strong women vocals, stuff like that. Let's do that. Oh,
yeah.
No, Halloween next.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I mean, I have another song by Delta Ray two songs that could work for the Halloween episode, okay. Actually. Yeah. So. Yeah.
So that, I wasn't crazy to think that that kind of brought me back to that song. Okay, thank you.
No, I think that's a good comparison for sure. And then the last thing that I have, because it just kind of ends, it doesn't really have any big finale or anything.
I noticed that.
That's the best part right there. But one line that I stopped right before he said it, that I think is another just really cool line. That's just, fun writing. I'll just play it for one that if you don't really catch what he says, I'll repeat it.
Gonna see a man turn water into wine. Me and my friends be drunk by supper time.
Come see man turn water into wine. Me and my friends will be drunk by supper time. I just think that's a cool line, right?
With the stand-up bass in the background, too.
I know. I love that. And there's a lot of those, like, you get it where everyone will drop in between verses or in between lines, and that bass will just keep going. And you hear the really kind of messy grittiness of, like, the strings kind of bending a little. Yeah. And it's not perfectly in tune, and it feels like thrown together. Like, it feels like one of those songs where you get, like, four people around one microphone in an old studio and in a radio station, and they all stand around one mic and they're just like jamming and just playing. That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
Similar. Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. It's that feel. And I think having that bass not be so tight and not like perfectly in tune and because it's a stand up bass, it's fretless. So you're not hitting the notes exactly. It's like going to be a little bit wavering.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think it just kind of adds to the whole feel and the atmosphere.
It feels authentic.
Of the song.
Yeah. Yeah, can you play that
part
again?
That's all I have.
Can you play that part again?
That last line?
Yeah, that last one you just hit. You still have that up?
Man going down in a high like the moon, let him know you're around. Gonna see a man turn water into wine.
Yes.
Me and my friends be drunk by supper time. Up in the dawn.
Yeah, and then he just kind of repeats that first line and then they
just
end
fades
it.
Out,
I mean,
yeah.
That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah, so cool. Yeah, I like it. I like it.
Yeah, it's a really cool song, and it's cool because like it's fun to sing. It's fun. It's easy to play. It's fun.
Do you play that?
Before I got my Irish tenor banjo, I had my regular five string like bluegrass banjo, and this was one of the only songs that I learned how to play. But I was just kind of strumming chords on it, and I was playing. I played around and singing with this because it was fun. But it's.
So you know this song for a while. I thought this was a song that you just came across recently. Okay.
No, I've known this for a while.
Yeah. That's very cool. I like it.
I just, yeah.
You've educated me because
it's
a song I didn't know.
I like the atmosphere. Like, I feel like there's certain songs, like not every song, but there's certain songs that kind of evoke like images in your mind of like a scenery or setting or an atmosphere. And this is one that definitely does that, and I think it's cool.
You might be a little more in tune with that though, because of all the work you've been doing for that degree.
I've been imagery
and stuff.
Yeah, everything that you do right now, everything I'm doing is like revolving around storytelling. So like, how can everything you listen to or you witness or you see like or you're told, it's like, well, how could that be a story? How could that play
right,
into
right?
So
and you think about that song,
that makes sense.
That song is a story, really. It's storytelling at its best, right there. Yeah. Yep. But not in the twangy southern kind of country music thing. You know, like you said, it's very different. You know, it feels a little more rootsy and stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Like it. Nice.
Yeah, almost like Appalachian or...
Yeah.
You know?
So like it's so not, yeah. When you put on that, whether you put it on, you know, Pandora, Spotify stuff, and then it brings up other suggestions, do you get similar bands that you have not known about?
Yeah, so I think I feel like this one probably came from whoever I was listening to when I discovered the Shaky Graves. I think we've played them.
Yeah,
we've talked about. I don't know if we've talked about them before, but I think I've shared a song by the Shaky Graves on the Facebook page before. And I actually ended up hearing that song in a car commercial not too long ago. The Shaky Graves song,
really,
which is kind of cool. Yeah, and so that's a similar sound. And I think I listened to a band called the Peculiar Pretzelmen, who actually have a really cool, like, really messy, dirty kind of like their songs evoke an atmosphere too, but it's more like in line with. Like the rusty diesel, like it's almost like the Mad Max movies, you know, like you picture that type of imagery, right? Yeah. Where it's like dirty, greasy, smelly. Hot, yeah. Sunny, and like that kind of atmosphere, and less like the kind of open space, you know,
that
romantic
feels like, yeah.
Central. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's really, it's, you know, where your mind goes. If you allow your mind to be immersed in the sounds of these songs and the words that they're saying, and you pay attention to kind of the scenery that you're picturing in your mind. It's you get a lot out of this type of music.
A lot of trains,
you know, takes you places.
A lot of trains.
Yeah. Well, Peculiar Pretzelmen is more cars. I'm picturing like beat down diesel engine cars, right?
Okay.
They actually have a song that's called Smells Like Diesel.
Yeah. So, sets a tone.
Yeah.
Nice. Favorite part. Yep. When he kicks in his voice.
Yeah, when he ramps up his vocals at the end, I just think that's really cool.
And
it's cool how they kind of like do it for a quick verse and then just drop back again and then just end the song. They're just that's it.
And if you listen to that one, that was it, Sun, I crossed it out, Sun Shining Bright or something like that. Similar.
Yeah.
That's a similar one. So listen to that one.
Yeah.
Can you see anybody else doing this or just kind of unique?
Yeah, I mean,
could you see yourself any of those playing types, this?
Like, I could see what's that?
Could you see yourself playing this with a couple guys sitting around somewhere in front of a fire?
Yeah, I a few years ago, we played music at a company outing day with me and a couple other people from work. And one of my coworkers plays stand-up bass. We didn't play this song, but we learned it because he liked it too. And so we learned, we kind of played through it messing around, but...
what were you playing guitar?
I was playing the banjo for that. Okay. For that one.
Nice.
But I think, like I said, bands like the Shaky Graves could definitely knock this out of the park. Spirit Family Reunion, bands that some of our listeners probably haven't heard of.
Right.
But similar sound and feel. So
you know, maybe those are the bands that we should reach out to, you know, and not try to get Carole King and you know, James Taylor.
Yeah.
On the show.
For sure. I almost did an Against Me song because I was like, I'll give up on getting Laura Jean Grace on the show, but
yeah.
Not giving up quite yet.
No, okay.
Soon. I'm going to need to talk about them soon.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is we had a nice promo from Vinny that he did at the end of his thing. Can we extract that at some point and put that out there?
Yeah, I'll get that out. Yeah,
forget about that. I don't know what made me think of that.
I forgot about that too.
So, you know, and I think Graham did one too, didn't he?
Maybe. I don't remember.
You have to ask him to do that, so. All right, cool. Nice. I like it. Yeah. Thank you. That was a good one. I like that. I like it when I learn something new. So when I learned about a new song.
Yeah, I know it's not really the type of music that you listen to, but you know.
But you know what? What I realized is for about 25, 30 years, I was damaged pretty much because all I was listening to was, you know, the kind of
use when you're working.
Yeah, the kind of two or three bands that I followed and, you know, we listened to on a regular basis. And everything else was pretty pedestrian because I had to. Because it was, you know, DJ work on every Saturday, you know, I'm playing Earth, Wind, and Fire. Like, okay, but I like that, but it's good. But I kind of got away from learning and knowing other stuff. And now that I have more time, I would listen to this. This is stuff like as I'm working in the yard or something like this, I would put this on, you know, and be welcomed to other stuff as well. You know, so I'm starting to listen to more interesting stuff than I didn't have time to in the past. You know, so
good. Well, I'm glad I can share it with you then, because I listen to a lot of different genres that
I don't know when you find time. I mean, I know you have a long drive in the morning and stuff for those 3 days a week, but when do you listen to podcasts? When do you listen to this stuff? Like, you don't have time. You have three girls. You have a wonderful wife, and you have goats and a dog. Like, when do you do
yeah,
this?
But when I go and do, if I'm doing anything out in the goat yard, I have headphones on and I'm listening to music or I'm listening to podcasts. And a lot of through my work day, I'm doing a lot of busy work on the computer and you just have headphones in, you know?
That's true.
Yeah.
So I would listen to this. I would definitely, you know, put that in. I like this. And also some of those, you know, Shaky Graves and some of the other bands you mentioned. So maybe I'll put a pot.
Yeah, the song by Shaky Graves that I, the song that I like by Shaky Graves, what is it called? You and I both know. What the, let's see.
And what was the other one? Family?
Is Dearly, yep. Dearly Departed is the song by Shaky Graves that I like. And it's that's the one that showed up in it. Showed up in a car commercial recently. I don't remember what the brand was, but it's one of those things where like a song comes on that, you know, they chose it because it's a good song, but no one knows it, and they're trying to be edgy, and you're like, hey, right. I know this song.
Hey, that means you're edgy. And what's the upstate New York band?
Spirit Family Reunion.
Right, I just want to write that down too. Okay,
they're a little more kind of raw. They sound a little more bluegrassy to me, but it's also because like fiddle in their band, right? Yeah. So it's.
Interesting. Okay. Nice.
And they are when I saw them live, they did the thing where it was like the drummer had like a snare drum and then everyone else was standing gathered around one microphone. Like
that's
that was
cool.
How they
that's cool.
Did yeah. it. So it was cool. They were really good.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Good. Anything else?
I don't think so.
Okay. Cool. I like that one.
So let's do yours.
Okay. You ready?
What do you got for me?
So Michelle Branch, Kylo Santana, 2002. The Game of Love.
All right, here's the. Let me play the beginning of it, and we'll have people listen to it. Then we'll talk. So this is the very beginning. This is
from not know it.
This is from the music video. So there's in the beginning. There's like extra backing sounds. So that's it.
Pretty.
I'm sure people have heard it. So go click the link.
But have they? You know?
I think so. I think this one was played on the radio.
Yeah, I mean it was a top five amount. And it stayed on the charts for a long time and stuff. But I think it was the ugly stepsister to Smooth, you know?
Yeah.
When it did that stuff. So
well go listen to it. Click the link in the show notes for the YouTube link and listen to it and then come back and we'll talk about it.
Now, do you know it? Do you want to listen to it or do you want to just talk about it?
No, I know it.
Okay.
I know it.
Okay. So, what do you think?
Honest?
Don't like it.
Never really liked this song.
Really? Really? Okay.
I don't know why. I think it, for me, it was kind of in the cheese and kind of,
yep.
It's weird because I am a guitarist, but
that's
I've
exactly
never
what
really
I wanted to
been,
talk about. Go ahead.
I've never really been a fan of Santana's music. And it's not that he's not an amazing guitarist. He's obviously one of the best and he's legendary. But that kind of Spanish blues style,
never draws you
just,
in, huh?
It never did it for me. And you can only bend a string so many times and play the same note so many times. Like I just, for me, it just, that is not a sound that has clicked with me ever.
Right.
I've always kind of felt like this song was two different songs trying to be one. Like, I feel like there's like a Santana song in there and then there's like a pop song in there and they're really trying to force them together. And to me, for me, it doesn't work, but I understand that there's really good elements in this song.
Right.
So,
and I think that's what drew me to it is it feels not like a Santana song till about 2 minutes in, or, you know, whenever he kind of kicks back in, which I mean, I grew up with Santana stuff. I'm super drawn to him from his performance at Woodstock, you know, and the Michael Shreve drum solo and all that kind of stuff, which was awesome. But, I'm not huge. I mean, Evil Ways and blah, blah, blah. He's got a couple instrumentals that are magical, that if you've ever listened
Black
to
Magic
him.
Black Magic Woman.
No, some instrumentals really, really, really special. And like, they'll give you goosebumps if you go and listen to him stuff. And it's very different than him just kind of wailing. It was funny when I used to work at Rainbow Records, Mike Beam, you know, rest in peace, was not a huge Santana fan at all and stuff. And he used to make jokes. And it's not like we'd argue. It's like, I love Santana. Like, it was never that. It's just like every so often it would come up and he said, yeah, he used to call him something. And I can't remember the exact quote, but it was something like, yeah, the master of the one note, solo, one string. So,
that's what I'm saying.
And that's what
you hear that in this. You hear that in this. He'll bend that string and then he'll just play it like 14 times in a row. And it's like, that's a solo. Yep. And that's what, it's so funny. There's a, so on like TikTok and Instagram, there's these videos are going around, and it, there's a meme right now where it's like, you need to add feel to your playing, and everyone's, and the joke is like, okay, so when you adding feel is just bending as much as you can, like just bend the strings over and over and just like slow down what you're playing and bend it as far as you can. And like, that's quote adding feel. And that's like the joke that's out there.
So again, this song, I've always been drawn to, and it was always in the back of my mind. I used to think like, why didn't that hit bigger? You know, I mean, it was, so he put out, the album with all the different artists that he collaborated with and stuff, and Smooth with Rob Thomas came out of it, which was a huge song, you know, and all. And I, how much I love Rob Thomas, you know, and all the stuff he's done. And I like that song too, but that felt like, okay, that was, Call Me Maybe, that was like every other song that was number one and stuff, like, okay, pretty good, but overplayed, and I don't want to hear that anymore. And then he put another album out, and he did the same kind of collaborations with lesser known artists. And this one was, I think, the main single that came from it. And I always thought, like, I love her voice in this. And I like the idea that it was her song. He reminds you that it's a Santana song later on, but it was her song, and her voice and the way she just kind of, kind of took it over was so unlike some of the other stuff that Santana always does. Because, I mean, there's no question, like, it was Santana, you know, smiling with his hat on and stuff, you know, in any kind of video, and just playing his guitar. Like, okay, that's every Santana song you've ever heard.
Right, yeah.
And that's not this at all, you know, until it is, you know, right, about halfway through. So I always thought that was kind of cool stuff. So I guess it was initially done for the lead singer, the main front guy of New Radicals initially. And then Clive Davis, who's a legend, obviously, in the music world and stuff, said, I want a female voice on it, you know, that sound.
Yeah.
So it was going to...
I don't think this would work well with a male voice.
No,
I agree.
No. And it, so
I think that's the right move.
Went to Tina Turner, and Tina Turner turned it down initially, although there is a version on his, like, reprise or greatest hit song like this that she does. And it's a very different feel. Her feel of it is very, very different.
Yeah. That would be very different.
Which I don't like as much. I know people say it's, you know, it's a very different feel because it's a more mature woman's view of love versus, you know, a young girl's, you know, which is the kind of one you get from Michelle Branch stuff. But it just, it just the old, here's this guitar master. Like you said, he's amazing. You know, everything else, certainly his style, and it probably hasn't been duplicated a lot with his style and stuff. And then he has her strumming her acoustic. But for me, it works, you know, especially if you do watch the video stuff. It's like, okay, this is kind of cool. And I always thought,
see, for me,
this is
a better song than
it should have been. You know, it should have been more picked up on. People should have liked it a little more. Go ahead. Sorry.
And I know this was the opposite of how it worked, but to me, it feels like they had a song, like a pop song with her singing, and then they gave it to him and said, just turn this into one of your songs.
Santana.
You know? Santanize this. Like, that's what it feels like to me. It just feels like it's too...
Yeah.
They're too far away from each other to be able to make it work.
Okay.
In my mind. You know?
Like... Yet. I think
like there's some songs where you take two things, right? So when we did our very first episode and we did Disturbed covering Simon and Garfunkel.
Yes. Yeah. That was one of our first
obviously
episodes,
very, right? Very different genres. And that's different because it's a cover, but that was able to work because the subject matter and the way the melody works. But this feels like two completely different songs and they're just mashing them together.
Really? Okay. Yeah. I can see that.
It just doesn't seem to work together for me. It's like if you found another song that would work with that Spanish sounding guitar, you could do it a little bit better. But that's just how I hear it. It just doesn't sound quite right.
I'm going to try to change your thought on this because I think what can happen. So here it is. She's got a very sweet voice. I mean, it's beautiful. She's got such a nice vocal and very, very smooth. And when he kicks in later on, you know, with it's like, okay, Carlos, we know it's you. Thanks. Then I think.
But that's what he does, right? Like, that's what he knows.
But I think as a listener, right. And it's like, oh, by the way, you know, like, little girl, like, let me show you, like, how to do this. Like, it's cute that you're strumming your guitar, but sit back, rookie, and let me show you, you know, my electric guitar. What's going on. But as a listener, and especially if you're already not a Santana listener, I won't say fan, but listener, I can hear you about 5 seconds after he starts that, like, you shutting down. It's like, okay, Santa, you just ruined it. It feels like it's a mashup. I'm not going to pay attention. But I think if you listen a little deeper and don't stop listening, if that's our next, I think that should be our next podcast. Don't stop listening. If you don't stop listening, it gets blended in better. Like at the halfway point, no, but three quarters away, and then towards the end, I think it feels like it's one song.
Yeah.
Okay. And
I just feel like the song that she's singing doesn't feel like the kind of song that needs wailing solos, is what it is.
Right.
Okay. I think that's what it comes down to for me. Like the song that she's singing is great for an acoustic strumming song. Okay. And it's a great pop song. It's a little overly, I don't know. I actually haven't really looked at the lyrics. It comes off as a little overly positive in my mind.
Yeah.
I think it comes off as a little too bubbly.
Okay. Right? Cheesy.
And I think because it is kind of bubbly and it's a really good melody and stuff for like that kind of pop acoustic strumming.
Yeah.
Adding a wailing solo to it, like that is not what it needs.
So like a Jack Johnson song, then all of a sudden you throw in some Jimmy Page or something like that at the end.
You know, like this just, you wouldn't put those two things together. Yeah. And so I think that's what has always kind of kept me away from it is like, like it's a nice song for what it is. And then you're adding something that just doesn't work for it.
Let's walk through it and then I'll explain why. I want to educate you with this one. Stuff because you always like bring new stuff to me and it's like, oh, okay, I never thought of it this way. I want to try to do it this time. You know, so she sings the first, she opens, again, very sweet, smooth voice and all that stuff. And then like 52 seconds in is when she hits the, the chorus for the first time. And it's very layered because it's you know, her singing over herself, maybe a couple, three different tracks. Yeah. And Tasteful fills by Santana.
I that is something I did want to point out. I do like the call and answer guitar fills.
Yep.
In between the lines of the chorus.
Right. See? Yeah. It's tasteful. Smooth. And not overly Santanized, whatever you put in.
I think Santanized was the word I just came up with.
Yeah, but it sounds like Satan. Who's just
very dangerous. Yeah. Or Santa Claus.
So, but it's still her song at this point. You know, he hasn't taken it over yet. Okay. And then 119, a nice little, very smooth, really cool fill in there too. Is that it?
You may have been watching a different video than me. I did it from the official music video.
Yeah, I did too. Try it at 117. Right there. That there.
Yeah.
So again, very smooth, very subtle, fills in the hole nicely, but doesn't overtake it. Okay. You with me so far?
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I mean, like I said, I understand that there's talent and there's good elements in this. It's just the whole thing.
It's going to hit you better. Ready? 141 with the horns. Go ahead. Like, where did those come from? All right. So that's a little. That those horns are a little, that's a little precursor, like, okay, we're going to layer it up a little more down the road. So get ready. Horns are coming. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then obviously at the bridge 206, when the horns enter and she's starting to build too before she hands it off to him, which I have a thought about that. So 206, I think. Building horns. Now stop, okay? If he didn't do that, which is, I don't know if he can not do that. That's Santana,
right, obviously. Yeah.
But without that part, skip past that and think about the traditional solo that he's doing, which I think like a 219. So skip past that. So take that out of the mix.
All right. Did you want me to play it?
Yeah, 219. This is where it's like step back, rookie. Watch what I'm doing.
No, that's where you just had me start it from.
Okay. At 219?
Yeah, 219 is.
Yeah, let that go. Now. Okay. Okay, now go back to...
Oh, there's the same note, the bent note.
Yeah.
Hold on. Eight. Played that same note 8 times.
But at 232, this is a Shawno lick that I was thinking that you would like. That one. You didn't like that one? The doodle 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 doodle.
Yeah,
that,
I mean,
that's Santana.
I like good guitar playing.
Okay.
It's, you know.
So without that entrance into him taking it over with that diddle, 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 it's a pretty smooth anti-Santana, with the exception of that one part that you just pointed out that he plays the same note 8 times. It's an anti-Santana kind of, and little maybe pulled back, I think, solo. Okay?
Yeah.
And then at 240, someone from in the back of the studios yells this out. I never heard this until I was listening to it closer today. What? Makes me feel good, yeah. Like, where did that come from, you know?
Yeah, I actually heard that earlier when I was listening to it, too. Thought that was weird.
That's
not weird, but I thought, yeah, that was...
That's a little deep in the cheese.
I mean, the song is a little deep in the cheese. But, yeah. like I said, to me, it feels like two good songs that are layered on top of each other, right? Like, I think it also has to do with, like, his... He has such a unique tone to his guitar that is just so reflective of that...
Yeah,
I think it's really good for all the stuff that he does. I really just feel like maybe, you know, you get someone, maybe it's not a Santana song. Maybe Santana is the one that's ruining this for me, right?
Because of his style of solo.
Yeah, and it just doesn't feel like it fits the genre, and it just doesn't fit the song, and they're trying really hard to make it work. It almost feels like when artists have other artists come up during their concert, right? Like, it's almost like if she was playing this at her concert, and like she's playing her type of music, and then he just happens to be in the city playing a show at the same time, and he comes up on stage, and they give him a guitar, and he plays a solo over it, and like, everyone goes crazy because, like, oh my gosh, it's Santana playing Santana.
And then you
it
go
almost
back
feels
to her
like
stuff
that.
Afterwards.
Like, it's her song, and
fit.
He is a guest in it.
And I think that's why I like it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, I think I'm starting to think that that's, and you never want to say, like, oh, Santana is what is, I don't want to use the word ruining, but I'm going to. It's the only word I can think of right now, but like, you know, Santana is what's ruining this song for me.
Changing.
You never want to say that.
Yeah.
But that's almost what I think that's almost what it is like that. If you removed Santana from it and just put in like a session player on an electric guitar on like a different type of guitar with different pickups that doesn't have that wailing tubular sound that he has.
Yeah. His sound
and you just play a little more
unique,
laid back solos that kind of fit into the background a little bit and are not front and center. This song doesn't feel like a song where the guitar should be front and center.
Okay.
It should be her voice and the words.
See, I think that's one of the reasons I was always drawn to it, because it doesn't seem like it's his song. You know, I mean, he obviously injects himself in it.
It doesn't feel like his. It feels like someone else's song, and then they're just like, slap the Santana filter on it. And it just, I honestly think it would be a better song if he wasn't in it, which just sounds so blasphemy, but that's almost what it seems like to me.
If you take the song for what it is, take that middle section where he like shreds, you know, when he comes in, take that out and then have like a tasteful solo that he kind of backs it up to, and then hit 310 where this is the breakdown.
That's exactly how I'm thinking of it.
Yeah. It feels like it's a lot more blended without that
searing face melting
guitar. Right. Hit 3. Yes, I love this. And he's not filling now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Horns.
It's the part that you love is the part that he's not playing.
No, because I like the beginning where he is filling in.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I think it just needs to be a little bit more subdued. I think it needs to be more supportive and less front and center. And I think that's what it is. But, you know, obviously it's his song. It's on his album. So the guitar is going to be the spotlight, right?
No way. You know what it was? Like, hey, we're in the studio. This girl's killing it. She's like, oh, man, this song is really good. Like, I gotta take this song over. Get out of the way.
his fingers start itching. Bitch, this is my album.
Yeah, I know. Sit down, rookie.
People are listening to this album to hear me melt their faces with my guitar solos. And like, that's what it is, right? Like, it's like a song that was written for someone else that's gonna go on his album.
Right.
And it almost feels like a little battle between like whose song is this?
And right? You didn't feel that with Smooth,
Thomas. And it's like when you're watching a movie, right? And another actor comes in and steals a scene.
Yeah.
Or like steals a show. And you're like, this movie's supposed to be about this actor, but this is the one that steals the show. And it's almost like she came in and she stole the show. And he's just doing what he does. And
which is maybe why I was drawn to it, because I like that. I liked her.
Yeah. And because she did such a good job, and because she sounds so good, and like the melody is good for her voice, I think it's almost like you listen to it and your brain wants it to be her song.
Yeah.
And then he's being a little intrusive with the guitar. I think that's how it's translated in my brain is it's a little too intrusive. If he was subdued and more of a supportive role in that song, I think it would be it would blend much better.
So I think it's one of those two that when you watch the video versus listen to the cut, you get a feel that it's still her song, that she's still included in it and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, because she's off the background still strumming and stuff.
And it is kind of following her, right?
My eye would still go to her stuff. Right. Right.
And he's just kind of there on the side. He does look like he's in more of a supportive role in the video because it's her and it's him kind of like doing his thing. And then everyone around them is just making out. That's kind of
Yeah. And I think I was more drawn to the song, even hearing it on the radio, because of her voice and everything else. And he was like, okay. You know, in my head, I'm thinking like, okay, of course that's Santana stuff, but I still like the song because I like the way she's delivering it. You know, it does seem like her song, with the exception of that minute and a half in the middle. And then it kind of becomes hers again at the end when, you know, everybody's clapping along, you know, with the breakdown and singing along with the chorus and stuff. Just, it's a happy song. Like I said, it's a little cheesy and stuff, but I always thought that it should have been bigger and maybe more paid attention to, if that's a good way to put it, than it was. And maybe it was. I mean, people probably know it and stuff, but it just always felt like this should have been as big, if not bigger, than Smooth when Smooth just hit.
Yeah,
so
it's
huge,
just, I mean, you know? I'm not surprised that you had this on your list because a lot, and this is not a knock at you or anything, but a lot of your songs are very like outside sunshine, daisies kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Like not overly positive, but like pretty happy and positive.
Yeah.
And there's not as much of that on mine because I'm into, you know, I like to feel heavier themes. No, it's not just Halloween and darkness. It's not just Halloween and darkness, but I like songs that draw.
Irish, yours always Halloween.
I like songs that draw a lot of different emotions and take you different places. And when I, you know, I don't listen to too many of the songs that just sit really nicely in the happy cheek where it's just like celebrating happiness. I think there's a place for that, but it's not. I don't have a lot of that stuff because to me it feels kind of surface level. And
now,
that sounds very, very pretentious, and I don't want to come off that way. But
do you feel that with some of the OAR stuff?
Yeah, some of it.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, I love the song Wonderful Day, but I think that's the same thing. It's very, it's just very, like, surface level. There's no problems. We're just happy. And sometimes you need that, but
fun while you're singing it and listen to it at a show, and you just want to kind of go and feel happy. You don't want to think about it. Yeah,
for sure. But, you know, like, there's a reason I, like, songs like Walking on Sunshine, I think that's, like, the worst song. One of the worst songs ever, because it's just like there's nothing there. It's too shallow. It's just like, we're happy, guys.
Yeah.
We're happy.
It's
right.
Isn't
this happy? Aren't we happy? The sun is shining. Like, it's just like, there's nothing there for me. And like stuff like that. Like sometimes I need a little bit more meat, and the song isn't quite at that level, but I think it's the chorus is a little bit of that for me.
And I think that it's pretty telling that I'm sitting here in my office and the sun is shining in the window and you're in the darkness of your basement.
Don't put me in this category of like a brooding, dark brooding teenager.
Like,
that's not the case.
You're not at all. I know. I'm only kidding.
That's not the case. I just, I like substance and it just come off. I understand that it comes off as really pretentious, but now, I like the stuff that I listen to affect me in certain ways, and that overly happy, just kind of celebrating that it's sunny outside, just doesn't, it's just not enough for me. You know,
sunshine. So if it was a searing guitar solo and maybe didn't have that, I mean, I don't want to sound pretentious either, but you know, the old nails on a blackboard that Santana sometimes can do. If it was another searing guitar player, would you have been open to it more? Or you think it would have been the same thing?
I think it depends. I honestly think that
it's his style, maybe.
I don't I think it's his style, and I think what it is I think this song doesn't need
him.
Guitar solos. It doesn't, I mean, you can put a guitar solo in there, but it doesn't need to be a showcase, right? That doesn't need to be the spotlight in this song. Yeah. I think you do a guitar solo to fill the space between a verse and a bridge, but it doesn't need to be like front and center. Like I think if this was her song and she was playing it live at a music festival, right?
Where he's not there.
By the time a guitar solo comes up, you get whatever guy is in her band, that's in her touring band, that's playing electric guitar. Give him a good 20 seconds or so to do a solo, but nothing crazy, nothing that draws attention away from her and fills the space. And then she comes back in with the next verse, right? Or the bridge or the whatever it's leading up to. And I think that would be perfectly acceptable and would mesh really well with this. But when you get someone coming in with that tone that he has and that screaming and wailing Spanish guitar, and you know, what is he? I think he plays, I don't know what kind of guitar he usually plays. It's a very specific feel. And it's just like, that is like commanding the spotlight and it's like demanding to be front and center. And I think I don't think that's what the song needs. I think
it's funny because
I think this would be a really, really good song if it was her song and that stuff was subdued and just supportive of the song.
I love it.
That's what it is. I think, you know, as a musician, the really hard lesson to learn is you do what's best for the song. You do what's best for the performance. You don't do what's best for you, right? So if you're playing in a song, like, you're not going to just start wailing on a solo because it makes you look really good if it draws, if it has a negative impact on the song as a whole. The song is your God that you're worshiping, right? And you need to do what you need to do to provide for that song.
Right.
To make it as good as it's going to be. Otherwise, things aren't going to match up. And it seems like that is what got lost in this song somewhere along the lines.
So I was just, while you were just talking, I was just looking up too and stuff, and I looked it up. She's got an acoustic version of it. I want to listen to that and see how it is.
Yeah, I'd like to listen to that sometime.
Because all the other ones are like, you know, with her with Santana at the Music Awards, and her with Santana here, and she showed up at a Santana show.
Showcase is him standing in the front of the stage wailing on his guitar.
Right, and welcoming her
with his
on.
Mustache and his hat. And
Hey, you got to respect the stash.
Respect the stash, man.
That's another t-shirt we should get. So
for sure. We should make a t-shirt design with like famous mustaches of all musicians.
There you go.
Like Lemmy's mustache and mine. James Hetfield and you know, yours.
So I'm going to listen to this after we get off to see how it is.
I feel like it's a good song. It's a good song. I think it's just got something that it doesn't need.
So maybe we can do is add that to the liner notes too. So people can listen to it, kind of get a feel for it. Nope. So that's
it. Sure. So I respect everything that you brought up, and I do respect this song. I just
thank you.
Not every song is going to mesh with every person.
Nope. I pretend to like all your stuff, but I don't like most of it.
Yeah, I know you. I know you don't like most of it. I kind of assume that you probably don't like most of the songs I bring.
No, so. I like learning new songs, new stuff. Like, I love Volbeat now because of, you know, you brought them up stuff. So I did, but I didn't know.
I could talk about them so much. It's just such a surprise. It's just such a surprising band. There's always different things in all their songs, and they're just really, really good. And it's cool because it's almost like a gateway band for people who don't listen to heavy music, right?
Yeah.
Because they have some really, really heavy songs, but
it's just the tone of his voice, though, is unbelievable.
Yeah, and the melodies he creates are just really good. So, they're probably going to come up in, like, every episode for some reason. You know?
So, that's it.
Cool. So, I think that's good. I mean, anyone you'd like to hear cover this song?
Santana, maybe? I don't know. I don't know. No, she's got a pretty unique voice, too, you know, like, and I'm interested to hear the solo acoustic to see kind of where she takes it and all, but no, I didn't even think of that. I can't. How about you? Anybody you can think of that you could hear doing this?
Jason Mraz.
Yeah. No, Tina Turner, maybe. Yeah.
Tina Turner. Macy Gray.
Well, Macy Gray was offered to as well.
That's why I said it.
And she turned it down.
I saw your note.
She's got a unique voice, too, so. But that's good. I think my favorite part is maybe the break at the end when they were all, clapping along and singing and stuff. And he's a little more subtle in the background. But I do like the first two verses where he's just kind of doing the real tasteful fills in between.
And see, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what he should have stuck with for it. And I think if he had done that, then I think the song would be a lot more approachable for a lot of people.
So, you know what I mean? Let's make sure we can let him know that, you know, these two guys in New Hampshire are going to tell him how to do his job.
Yeah, somebody tweet at Carlos Santana. Hey, listen, like, let me tell you something.
Here's an idea. That song back, you know, 22 years ago. Like,
okay. He'll be like, yeah, well, the $1.4 million that song made me in the first year says otherwise. Whatever it was.
Yeah. Good. Okay, that's it.
Awesome. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this. I hope you got something out of it. And if you agree with us or don't agree with us, that's fine. Whatever.
Let us know.
I don't really care. But I hope you enjoy. I hope you discovered some new music or discovered some new, a better understanding of songs that you do or don't like. You know, that's kind of what we always go for.
And if you hearing this, this is what we do. This is what we've always done, is having these kind of conversations, good or bad, or trying to sway each other's, like, no.
Understand. We want to understand what makes songs great to people.
Yeah.
And Dad went through this song explaining what makes it great in his mind.
Yep.
And I fought it. I fought him tooth and nail every step of the way. So
it's like you ripped me apart with musicology. I'm still in therapy over that, man, with Prince, but man.
Oh yeah, that one was rough.
Yeah.
So remember to follow us on all of the socials and click all the links in our show notes for all of the things that we do.
Pantheon.
Yeah. And check out pantheonpodcast.com for more music-related podcast. And with that, I think that's it, right? Stay hydrated, listen to good music, and don't be a dick. We'll talk to you next time.
See ya.